Chapter 19. Elias.
The rising sun looks like a ball of red flames, painting the land in a violent crimson as it inches its way above the horizon. To the east, the clouds have parted ever so slightly, allowing the radiance of the brilliant orb to break through. A good omen, even if the land surrounding the city of mages is now bathed in a color like blood. Standing on the balcony of his academy rooms, Elias watches silently as the clouds slowly overtake the space previously carved out by the sun. The crimson fades to a dull orange before eventually being swallowed up by the monochromatic gray. Another sign, perhaps? He shakes away the thought as soon as it enters his mind, turning back into his sleeping chambers without a second glance behind him. The domicile is open and well-furnished, no doubt reserved for some tenured professor now conscripted into the army. Elias's bare feet tread upon a finely woven rug as he passes an enormous plush bed, ruffled from him having slept in it the night before. It wasn't a restful sleep, he hasn't had one of those in years, but it gave him plenty of time to think about the upcoming battle and what he must do to hold back the oncoming tide. He reaches the armoire and pulls it open, grabbing for a tunic and a pair of breeches. Under normal circumstances, the clothing would be insufficient, but now it feels like midsummer, unseasonably hot and muggy. Resting at the bottom of the armoire is his battle armor, oiled and cared for, despite having not been worn in more than a decade. The hardened leather, plain but well-made, reminds him of a time long gone, when fighting meant protecting the realm from other humans, not demons out of storybook legends. Taking a deep breath, he picks up the armor and begins putting it on. The shin guards and thigh protectors go on easily enough, the leather straps tightening securely over his breeches. The cuirass proves a little more difficult, the chest armor difficult to cinch, but age hasn't yet robbed him of his flexibility. He manages to twist and secure the armor well enough on his own. The spalders come next, followed by the arm guards, leather vambraces, and heavy studded gloves. On his right hand, only his forefinger and middle finger are covered to make it easier for him to use his bow. Finally, he reaches for his boots, the sturdy footwear matching the rest of the set perfectly. Pulling on his ranger cloak, he turns to look at himself in the mirror. He grimaces at the man he sees staring back at him. Dark hair with more gray in it than black, features weathered by the sun, wrinkles just about everywhere. The only things he recognizes are his eyes, dusky like iron, and still sharp as a blade. "How did you get put in this position, old wolf?" he says to himself, heaving a sigh. "Surely there are other men out there, better men." His reflection doesn't respond, merely stares back at him with a resigned look. He picks up his belt from the table and straps it around his waist, the knife his master had given him resting comfortably against his thigh. He grabs his quiver as well, the worn container filled to capacity with white-fletched arrows. He hesitates when he notices the longsword leaning against the far wall, the hilt and crossguard glinting dully, daring him to draw the blade. "Probably going to need something a little bigger than my belt knife," he reasons, hefting the weapon before strapping the scabbard to his waist. A knock sounds at the door, three heavy thuds that draw Elias's attention.
"Lord Protector,"
one of his bodyguards says through the thick oak.
"It's time."
Setting his jaw, he reaches for the final weapon in the room, his unstrung bow. It rests near the exit, the polished yew a light brown. Grunting in exertion, Elias bends the bow and sets the string, giving it a few test pulls, before hanging it over his shoulder. Nodding once in satisfaction, he pushes open the door and begins making his way to the western wall, bodyguards in tow. The morning light reveals a city made ready for war. As Elias and his men ride through the streets, they pass armed patrols and citizen militias, construction crews building barricades, and craftsmen preparing weapons and armor. Nearly everyone hails him as the Lord Protector, saluting him and bowing in respect. "How things have changed," he muses as he rides. "The last time I was in this city, I was in chains. Now they hail me as some kind of hero, a nightingale of all things. The end of the world must truly be upon us. The closer they get to the wall, the more evidence they see of the coming battle. Soldiers rush this way and that, going about final preparations, while captains and other ranking officers shout orders, cursing those who move too slowly. No city folk are anywhere to be seen. The houses and shops closest to the wall shuttered and boarded up to prevent looting. Not that the R'hllar will be doing much looting, he thinks sardonically.
Lord Protector,
a knight calls as Elias reins in his horse before the gatehouse.
General Moore awaits you on the wall. They're here, sir. The demons have arrived.
Thank you, soldier, he replies, dismounting. Now back to your post. The man races off, and together, the nightingales climb the stairs to the battlements. When they reach the top, they find the walls choked with people, knights and nightingales alike gawking at the scene before them. It takes Elias several minutes to make his way to the front, but when he does, his mouth goes dry. A sea of glowing red eyes greets him, a flood of demons so vast that it drowns the land around the city in black and red. Monstrosities of every shape and size march in disorganized ranks, approaching the walls like an unstoppable tide of death from the 11 hells themselves. Around Elias, men curse and pray, whispering to one another in frightened tones and echoing the thoughts that are no doubt on everybody's minds.
Light almighty, how can we survive against that?
Ripping his eyes away from the terrifying scene, Elias spots General Moore a little way down the wall. He stands apart from the common men with an entourage of knights, resplendent in plate armor with a helm forged to look like a roaring lion. His men are similarly armored with hawks, dragons, and boars emblazoned on their breastplates and pauldrons. Trailing his gloved hand along the whitish stone of the battlements, Elias makes his way over to him, careful not to let any fear show on his face.
I dearly pray that you know what you're doing, Zara, he thinks grimly. Because we're trapped like rats in this city. There will be no retreat for us.
Protector Keen,
Moore says stiffly as he approaches, glancing over at him for only an instant before looking back out at the encroaching enemy.
General, he replies somberly, standing next to him on the parapet. It seems your apprentice did not exaggerate when he told us about this demon army.
He gestures toward the R'hllar with a gauntleted hand.
I'll admit, part of me was hoping he was lying, or perhaps his eyes had somehow deceived him.
He shakes his lion-covered head.
Owen's as honest as they come, I'm afraid, Elias replies. My only hope is that we've done enough to prepare.
We're prepared,
Moore answers with a confidence that Elias doesn't feel.
This Prince of Darkness will find that Tarsus is no easy target for him to conquer. We've a few surprises up our sleeve that are sure to waylay him, if not halt him altogether.
Elias nods, resting a hand on the hilt of his sword.
You're in charge of the defense of the city, General. Tell me where me and my men need to go, and we will stand firm.
Moore glances over at him, a small hint of amusement glinting in his dark eyes.
Oh, I believe you. It wasn't long ago that we faced each other on the battlefield. You nightingales fight like devils when backed into a corner. I'm glad that now we're on the same side.
After a moment, the general turns back to regard the scene, resting metal-clad hands on the battlements as he leans forward to observe. The R'hllar horde marches forward, drawing ever nearer to the walls with a rumbling thunder of footsteps.
I have the rangers stationed specifically along the western wall. Their arrows will prove useful in keeping the demon scum from advancing. Battle mages are also scattered strategically to provide cover as needed. My knights will hold the gate, city militia the southern wall, and I have engineers manning the trebuchets. Everything else is held by your nightingale archers.
Looking to the side, he points to a nearby watchtower, a circular behemoth of heavy stone.
Might I suggest commanding your men from up there? It's a good vantage point and central to where the nightingales are stationed.
As you say.
Good luck, General. Moore nods without looking back at the nightingale leader. Elias sets off immediately, heading for the appointed watchtower. As he and his bodyguards make their way along the wall, passing pale-faced soldiers and priests offering prayers to the light, he takes a deep breath to steady his nerves and calm his mind.
Fighting never gets easier. Even after all these years, I still get jitters before a battle. I know exactly what these men are feeling.
Climbing the stairs, he's surprised to find Tamara waiting for him at the top of the tower. As always, she's wearing her ranger cloak and form-fitting leather armor. Light's Edge, the Grandmaster's sword, is strapped to her back, and a long recurve is held in her hands with a bristling quiver of arrows on her hip.
"Master Warden," Elias says, "what are you doing here?"
"Coming to check on our rangers stationed in this area," she replies coolly, eyes breaking away from the front to glance at him. "I wanted to make sure everything's ready before the battle commences."
"I see," he replies, walking over to stand next to her.
All around them, archers are getting into position, moving arrows and stones and speaking quietly with their fellows. They leave enough space between the two of them, though, so that they can talk freely. Elias rests his bow against the wall, his hands settling on the rough stone in front of him.
"I'm glad you're here, truth be told."
She looks at him out of the corner of her eye.
"Oh, is that so?"
"Yes," he replies. "I didn't think I'd have a chance to talk to you before the fighting started. Our last meeting ended abruptly."
He rubs the part of his jaw where she'd punched him. She smiles faintly at the memory, but it's gone a second later, her face becoming as smooth and unwavering as ever. He stares at her for a moment before going on.
"Look, Tamara, I'm sorry about what happened before. I wasn't..."
"Don't," she interrupts him. "Just don't, Elias. Not now."
He opens his mouth to respond, then thinks better of it, grunting and standing beside her in silence. His eyes drift over the unending fields of enemies, a faint breeze blowing in his ears.
"There's so many," he thinks. "How can we hope to stand against such a force?"
Despite what he told Owen, deep down he doesn't believe this is a fight they can win. They don't have the manpower. Even if they manage not to lose any troops in the assault, the walls can't stand forever. Eventually, the R'hllar will break through.
"We could use every arrow we have against them and still not put a dent in their army," she remarks, as if reading his thoughts. "But then, our purpose isn't to defeat them, is it? We're to hold them until Zara and the mages can cast that spell of theirs."
He looks back at her.
"Do you think we can hold out that long?"
"We have to," she replies evenly. "It doesn't matter what I think. We must keep them from taking the city. There isn't any other option."
Elias grunts and looks back out over the wall.
"Not exactly the encouragement I was looking for, but then Tamara was never one to mince words."
Unexpectedly, she rests one of her hands atop his own, her slender calloused fingers squeezing tightly. He meets her gaze, astonished, confused, and enlivened all at the same time. Her blue eyes hold him transfixed, her expression intense, meaningful.
"I'm not done with you, Elias Keen. We'll finish that conversation from earlier, after this is all over. You have my word."
I look forward to it," he replies, not sure what else to say.
Tamara holds his hand for a moment longer, and then removes it, hastily turning to depart.
"Take care of yourself, Protector."
"You as well, Master Warden."
She disappears down the stairs, leaving Elias alone on top of the tower with the archers. The ghost of a smile pulls at his lips, and for a time all he can do is stare after her.
"The way she looked at me. Light Almighty, she really does love me."
The mere thought makes his heart swell. Shaking his head, he turns back to the front, determined to survive this battle, if only to resolve things with Tamara, the only woman on Bahalia capable of knocking him off his guard. On the ground below, the R'hllar have finally come to a halt just beyond arrow range, their ranks a long, jagged line. Smoke billows from the scattered taverns and villages of the Heartlands, every building outside the city having been set ablaze by the enemy troops. Somewhere deep in the endless mass of demons and mind-flayed humans is the Prince of Darkness, the demonic lord bent on destroying this world once and for all. I wonder if he'll deign to fight us himself. Cutting the head off the snake might be enough to turn the tide of this battle. Yet somehow Elias doubts Asmodeus would be so foolhardy. Dead silence hangs over the legions of defenders atop the walls, every man and young lad staring down at the writhing sea of death waiting to fall upon them. "Steady, men," Elias finds himself saying, his hand straying to pick up his bow. "Remember that the light fights with us. None will pass by these walls while we defend them." Somewhere on the ground, a lone horn blows, a wailing sound that echoes in the wind. It is joined by a chorus of screams, the army letting out a war cry that seems to shake the very foundations of the city. Bellowing gorgons lend their voices to the howling darkhounds, combining with the shrieks of thousands of unnamed creatures to create a cacophony that chills the blood and causes nearly every man to quake.
"Don't give in to fear,"
Elias's voice barely carries over the demonic din.
"Fear is our enemy. Stay strong, warriors of Tarsinium."
As one, the front ranks break away from the main body of the army, charging at full speed toward the walls. Cursing, Elias readies his bow.
"Knock arrows!"
The archers on the tower and the surrounding wall fix arrows to their strings.
"Pull!"
They draw the fletchings to their cheeks, arms poised to unleash a volley. Elias pauses. "Come on," he thinks, watching the advance warily. "Just a little closer, you wretches." The demons come within range, red eyes blazing hatred.
"Loose!"
Hundreds of bowstrings snap, raining death in a great black cloud.
"Again!"
he shouts, face hard as he watches the first ranks go down like pincushions. He draws another arrow.
"Let's send these beasts back to the 11 hells, for the light!"
The defenders echo his cries, their voices mingling with the tumult as the battle for Tarsus is joined.